This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Central, brought to you by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Not coming to you live today because of the long weekend, but a pre-recorded show and much to talk about. In studio with me, I've got George as usual. How are you doing, George?
How's it, Ty?
Lekker. Martin, how are you?
Hi, Ty.
And Lawrence has joined us today. How are you doing, Lawrence?
It's good to be back here.
Fantastic. Nice to have you back in the studio. Right, well, but let's get straight into it, guys. I see new road laws for South Africa, toll tariffs, micro dots, clamp down on illegal licenses, and more. The Department of Trade published amendments to the National Road Traffic Regulations. The draft regulations were published in the Government Gazette, blah, blah, blah. And basically what's happened is they've updated these amendments to the National Road Traffic Regulations. They've covered a number of points. The first one being draft regulations on micro dots. Now, one of you guys can please just unpack what a micro dot is to myself and the listeners.
Okay, well, a micro dot is a tiny, microscopic little, you could call it a piece of plastic, really.
Yeah.
And they actually apply them to the chassis, the engine, the interior of the car. They are microscopic, you can't see them.
Okay.
So essentially what happens is if a car comes up stolen, they can then do an examination, because these things are everywhere. They spray thousands of them inside the car.
It comes in an aerosol can, actually.
Oh, really?
So they all over the car.
And yeah, then you go in with a tiny little magnifying glass.
Yeah.
And there is actually a serial number on the micro dot, it's an identifier for...
Sure.
For just about, it's on the seats, it's on the chassis, it's on the carpet, it's on everywhere. The roof liner, everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere.
They can pretty much pick up every single part of the car as to that serial number.
And the point to that is obviously, is that from a security point of view, you know,
yeah,
from cars being stolen and to parts and, you know, chop shops, that exactly kind of thing, to see who's got what where.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was made of one material. It's not. It's made of various materials, but mostly polyester or metal.
Mm.
It's not. It's not made of a particular material. It can be made of anything.
But if they're spraying this out of a can, I mean, it's obviously not visible to the naked eye. Otherwise, we'd see it. And you say with a magnifying glass, you can actually read the number on the.
No, it's not visible to the human eye. You actually need to have
proper magnifying glass.
200 to 300 micrograms.
It's tiny.
It comes out of the aerosol literally like deodorant.
Yeah, it's like spraying deodorant.
It's like spraying deodorant or air spray.
Sure, but okay. Well, so there's, you know, some changes to that. Fitment and control of micro dot fitment sensors. Regulations on the exemption of abnormal vehicles. Then they're looking at procedures for cancelling learners and driver's licenses obtained contrary to the provisions of the regulation. So obviously they want to clamp down on guys that are getting fake licenses, which I think is really decent. Another one that they've got here is provisions on overloaded vehicles that carry dangerous goods.
Or nail them to the wall.
Yeah, I think
all overloaded vehicles, actually, not just carrying dangerous goods.
Well, it does. It goes into, you know, trucks carrying cattle and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So what you can and can't do, and how you have to drive and how you can't drive. And I see the ones that, you know, caught my attention was rules of the road on passing of a cyclist. And I went in to actually just read a little bit about it. And what they basically said is that if you're passing a cyclist who's traveling in the same direction as you, you actually have to give him a 1.2-meter wide berth. You're obviously not allowed to drive on the shoulder of the road, et cetera, while you know, passing him. But what came to me, and I think this is a point that we can just, you know, chat about for a little bit, is what is the point of updating these documents and these regulations when half of the rules that are in the law are not followed and they're not enforced. So, you know, it's all fair and well saying, okay, you're not allowed to, you know, overtake a cyclist like this, but you know, you're allowed to drive a car into oncoming traffic because we just don't care about the rules of the road.
We don't need more rules. We need to have the rules that we have already enforced. Just get them enforced.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what motorists, I think, miss or fail to understand is that road users are not only cars and motorbikes.
Absolutely.
Road users are also other things with wheels.
And pedestrians even. And pedestrians,
well,
yeah.
Well, pedestrians are questionable because, you know, you can't walk in the center lane of, you know, of a road. It's just...
But they do, but we do.
Yeah, we do.
But I mean, we jaywalk.
I honestly don't think that's in the Road Traffic Act, being, you know, a pedestrian.
Jaywalking is illegal. Exactly. And it is a punishable, it's a finable offence.
Yes. You know, I'd like to look up the definition of what a vehicle is, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't include a pedestrian.
No.
So my point is that cars and motorbikes and things with engines are not necessarily the only vehicles on a road.
Absolutely.
You get bicycles. You get people on skateboards. Yep. Believe it or not, people on skateboards are vehicles. People on rollerblades are vehicles. Mm. They are using physical power to propel themselves forward on a wheels. Set of wheels.
So these guys who collect the plastic on the side of the road. Yeah, I mean, and they are using
vehicles.
No, absolutely, and they're using the roads. I mean, I've seen some videos of these guys traveling down main roads at the same speed as cars.
They are vehicles, people, and like they are losses. Allowed there.
Well, I actually saw, listen, I don't think we're going to get them licensed, but I was actually, I think it was actually on Carte Blanche on Sunday night, they had a piece about two women in a township who've actually created a bicycle. So these guys are, they've obviously got these trolleys. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but most of the handles are ironing board stands. I think they're awesome because what they're doing is they're actually cleaning up our city. Yes. So I'm all for them. And if they can make a bit of loot by taking that,
Give them a fat wide berth.
The only thing is, though, when you're coming down Republic and they're coming in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Well, no brakes.
That's a traffic violation. Why? It is. You're traveling on the wrong side of the road.
So he should be fine.
He should be fine.
But this goes to my point, and we can get into this topic just now because I've got a whole thing here on the road fatalities from 2017 that we're going to unpack. But to your point, George, if you're breaking the rules of the road, it doesn't matter whether you're on a bicycle, a skateboard, everything. If you're riding a bicycle on the road, surely you should have a helmet on. I'm sure that's in the law somewhere.
Actually not.
Is it not?
No.
Yet.
No, it's not in the law. Not on a bicycle.
It's a suggestion. It's not a law.
And again, it's that is for your own safety.
Yeah.
It's not. So I think the road traffic rules are mainly geared towards safe traveling between, so that you don't go and damage or injure someone else. And a helmet does nothing for the other person that you crash into. So helmets are just a guideline, like
for yourself. But anyway, so my point is, it's all fair and well, and yes, we're updating the road traffic amendment bills and all this kind of stuff. But if the rules of the road are not policed or enforced, we're barking up the wrong tree, really. So let's move on. Toll tariffs. How much you'll pay traveling in South Africa? So obviously, because of the 1% increase in the VAT, our toll fees are going to go up again, and adjustments to the tariffs are influenced by the CPI over the preceding 12 months and the increase in VAT from 14% to 15% recently announced in the 2018-2019 budget.
Actually, they caught me the other day. I was on my way home, went through a toll gate on the N17, and I had my R5 ready. drove up to the window, threw the R5 at the guy, and sort of started pulling off, and he screamed at me like, "Hey, come back here." I said, "What?" He says, "It's not enough." I'm like, "What do you mean it's not enough?"
So I pay this every single day.
R5.50. I'm like, "When did that go up?" He's like, "Oh, no, I'm on 12th. Well, thanks for sharing that. They hadn't even changed the boards out front yet.
Mm. Well, if they hadn't changed the boards outside, theoretically, they couldn't have charged you R5.50 because they're displaying a price.
Absolutely. That's the same.
Publicly, it's the same as displaying a price on the shelf of a retail store. If you see the price on the shelf of the retail store, that's the price that you've got to pay.
Yeah. Actually, over the weekend, we were in a retail store and actually had at the till a piece of paper saying that the shelf price and the price on the computer might not actually be the same because they're still adjusting their systems.
I think that is a cop out.
Go there for night shift and change your flipping prices.
Exactly.
Do me a favor.
You hear that, Woolies?
Golfers. I went to a golfer's shop once, and they had a 3,000 rand driver that was marked for 800 rand. I mean, who wouldn't want to buy? And I was looking for a driver, so that was the deal of the day. The fact that I phoned like 25 of my friends and said, "You better get yours now because this is a bargain." Eventually they cottoned on.
I've been into some retail stores. You see a bargain, you take it to the till, and they realize that it's wrong. I've never had a situation where they forced me to pay the computer price.
No.
They give it to me, and you see the oak running to the shelf
to go and change that PR label. Yeah. Exactly. So toll roads are going to go up. I think that just comes with the territory. My question is, and I think
but change boards first, please.
Change. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to update,
Lawrence doesn't want to pay 50 cents more. Neither do I. And neither
the thing
does
is,
Ty.
Though, yep. a year ago it was R4.50. Then it was R5, and now it's gone to R5.50. So it's gone up a rand in 1 year.
In a year, which is what 25, 20%.
That toll road has been R4.50 for as long as I've lived in Johannesburg.
Yeah, I remember the Marion Hill toll plaza used to be R2.50, and now it's sitting at like R11 something.
I mean, 10 years ago, my dad used to complain about the toll fees when whenever they came out, because of the trip between Durban and Joburg and Cape Town.
Yeah,
and
R325.
Right now.
Yeah. That's what it'll cost you to go between Cape Town and Johannesburg.
It's got about $50 over the last 4 years, in other words.
And if you go Joburg, Durban, it's about $275.
So that's actually not that bad if you're traveling.
An e-tag.
Is it cheaper?
No. All the e-tags work all the way to Durban.
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't pay a cent.
But you're still paying for the
e-tag. You're paying for the e-tag monthly.
Yes.
But you go straight through those toll gates.
Oh, don't you? Doesn't
zero?
They don't get a bill at the end of the month for all the tolls that you've been through.
Depends on the plan that you're on with the e-toll. Peeps. But if you have an e-tag, make sure the e-tag's in the car when you're going down.
Yeah, we've travelled quite a bit. So I've got a mate who's got an e-tag. It's lovely. You just drive straight through. Boom opens and happy days.
Yeah, that kind of e-tag is fun.
Yes.
Let's not get into the other one.
Oh, okay. That's the one I thought you were talking about. Well, I don't have one of those, but an e-tag I think would work.
Well, the e-tag,
You can get a different e-tag just for a long distance, right?
Well,
I think they're all exactly the same.
In Pretoria, there are different ones. Yeah. You can get an e-tag just for the Bequena toll roads.
That's N4.
That's N4 and N1 as well.
Mm.
But then it doesn't. You can have it linked to the SANRAL roads as well.
Mm. Okay, so SANRAL and
so that's optional.
N4. Okay.
But you can actually get just the one you want, not the one they want to force you to have.
Okay.
All right, gents, let's get on to this next story. And I thought this is actually quite amazing, George. And you touched it on your show with Gareth this morning. But I see that Amazon now delivers packages to your car. So just for the listeners here, internet giant Amazon announced today that it will start delivering packages to certain 2015 and newer General Motors and Volvo vehicles, getting us one step closer to transition into being a kind of modern hipster who wants to live out of a van to save cash. But essentially what these guys are doing is you can order something and Amazon will deliver it to your vehicle. So, I mean, George, you've touched on this morning.
Does this
count
if you're sitting in traffic?
The vehicle has to be parked in a public parking area. So will only deliver if your car is parked in a public parking area. But Amazon developed this app called the Amazon Key app. Now, it looks like the Key app actually allows them to put the package in your car. You don't have to actually physically be at the car.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, that's fine because we all trust Amazon and they can only open the car.
All hail our dark overlords.
Yeah,
exactly. However, I think that this is the beginning of the big problem that was in the news over the last month with Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, and the U.S. elections, where if you don't know the story, Cambridge Analytica, there was this app that was a research app, and you downloaded this app, and you were paid to take this piece of research after you downloaded the app. The app got Facebook to give them all of your friends' data, your data, your name, your location, et cetera, et cetera. And then they sold this data on to this company called Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge Analytica then used this data to micro-target the population of the U.S. during the U.S. elections.
Hey.
Micro-targeted 50 million U.S. citizens with messaging that was tailored to them.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, in my opinion, you give your data to Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to read
the T's and C's.
Not necessarily the T's and C's, but every time you download an app that is linked to Facebook, it tells you what data it's going to take.
Mm.
So freaking just read it. But nonetheless, while there's kind of a borderline of ethics there, I still believe that a consumer must be aware. But this Amazon Key app now gets what?
All your info.
Gets your location, gets your driving routes, gets
the key to your car,
gets a crap load of data.
Shopping habits.
So now Amazon can micro-target you with messages. when you're in certain locations. Mm. So it's the start of all of the car data being given to a big giant like Amazon, and them able to being able to use that data to advertise to you. Which, if you're happy with that, that's great.
In fact, I think it's going to get even worse.
Sounds like Minority Report.
Yeah, it's actually going to get worse than even you're envisaging here, George. The next step would be for live ads while you're driving to be played on your car's infotainment system because many new cars are net connected already.
Yeah.
And it is believed that the next big step would be targeted ads to your car as well.
Yeah, no. I mean, so you've got to kind of like it's not all bad. I mean, it's freaking not all bad.
No.
So you've
got to. Well, just depends how it's used, though. That's the difference.
As a consumer, you've got to understand that you've got to give up some privacy in order to get functionality.
Yeah.
Because if you don't give up privacy to get functionality, you're not going to get that functionality. The companies aren't going to give it to you. And most of the time, they're going to say to you, we'll give you this for free if you give up some of your privacy. And that's exactly what Facebook does.
Yeah, just want to know who you are.
They give up you give up your privacy so we can target ads to you.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can't have a rant when they say to you, we're going to take you this data and we're going to use it to target you. You know, and that's going to happen. It's absolutely going
to
happen.
Yeah, well, I suppose you've made the decision to download the app. And like you say, if you haven't read the, you know, the disclaimer or whatever, the usage policy, then that's your own fault.
Exactly. So, you know, so I think Martin's right. It's going to get worse is the wrong word.
Yeah.
This is going to proliferate.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to explode.
But data. I mean, do you think, I mean, you know, in terms of the functionality of this as a service, could be quite nice, you know. So I'm driving somewhere and it's like, oh, sure, but I need to buy, you know, my latia birthday present, you know.
It's absolutely useful.
Send the message, pay the, you know.
It's about convenience and speed.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's it.
But convenience, speed, and safety. So those are the three things that I think consumers are going to want.
And in return, you will give, because they will give you those three things, you will give them your privacy.
Yes.
Yeah, you will. Especially if we're going, I mean, if we look at the types of cars that we're going to have, the self-driving cars and, you know, carpooling and all that kind of stuff, the car, like you say, is just going to become a phone, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, someone stole my phone. Oh, well, okay, insurance, get a new one. And you just download everything that you had on the old phone onto the new phone.
I mean, imagine the kind of stuff that, you know, how safety could go up with giving up some of your data. You know, the ability to tell what kind of parking bay you like to park in. Now, believe it or not, it might sound strange, but there's a particular type of parking bay that I like to park in.
Mm.
It's an end of a row.
Yes.
I don't like parking in the center of two cars or between two cars. I prefer to reverse park into the bay.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of parking style. Now, if an app knew that,
it would
and I drove into a parking lot.
Yeah.
It would tell me, okay, just go down three rows, turn right, there's a bay available.
Yeah.
And I've given up some of my privacy to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's not kind of stuff that, you know, no one's going to use to your detriment, that kind of information.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah.
You just got to be careful.
Unless the Oak and the app sends you to the parking bay, it's like, haha, stuff you.
No, but they could use, you know, depending on the company that's providing the application, that company could use your data in other ways.
Yeah.
So they say to you, okay, we'll provide you with parking locations that suit your particular driving style. Give us your constant location, give us your preferences, tell us who your friends are, give us access to your Facebook profile.
Yeah.
Now they've given you something for free, you've given them something for free. What else are they going to do with your data?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. They pass that data on. I think that's where they
sell it, use it, manipulate it.
Targeted advertising,
yep. Whatever the case may be, you've just got to know what they're going to use it for and be okay with that.
So we'll watch this unfold. I don't think it's going to be coming to our shores anytime soon. I don't know if I'm going to let a stranger get into my vehicle.
Well, also, can you imagine the joy on the faces of those parking attendants when someone else gets to your car, comes to your car, opens your boot and puts stuff in?
Yeah.
And someone else comes to your car, opens your boot and takes stuff out.
Yeah. Car guards will be going mad, because he won't know if the Oak's a thief or not. Exactly. Anyway, he'll just show him an app and say, no, don't worry, they let me open. Anyway, guys, enough of that. Let's get into some Formula One. I know we had the Australian Grand Prix 2 weeks ago. We've got, is it Azerbaijan this weekend? But I just think there seems like there's quite a bit of, you know, behind-the-scenes action that's going down. And I didn't know this, that Claire Williams, who is the daughter of Sir Frank Williams, who started the Williams racing team. She now runs the show, and there's a, seems to be a bit of an issue because there are plans for a $150 million budget cap from 2021 in F1. Now,
yeah. Well, it's the budget cap is largely to try and stop the big teams like Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull, with deep pockets and lots of money, from continuously winning and giving the other teams a chance to compete, so that you don't. Because at the moment, what's happened is you've got the guys in the front, those three teams, and then you've got the midfield, and then you've got the guys in the back. So there's actually three Formula One races going on every single race.
So I mean, okay, and because that budget cut is, you know, it just levels the playing field. Do you think that's right though?
The bulk of where the money is spent is in development, off-season development.
Yeah,
making the car faster when they're not racing.
Yeah,
and if the other teams don't have that money to spend,
then they shouldn't be in F1.
They've got the money to race, and they've got a little bit of money for development, where the other guys can throw as much money as they damn well please at development.
Mm. And it's a nice tax deductible for Ferrari, for instance, and for Merck.
Yeah, so I mean, for a long time, you know, the Formula One has been trying to regulate or level the playing field through rules.
Yeah.
And they've never used that lever called you're not allowed to spend over a certain amount. So you can't refuel. You're only allowed a certain number of engines.
In a roundabout way, kind of. Limiting them money-wise.
Yeah. But what's happened is, let's say you're limited to four engines, which means that the top teams can throw a hell of a lot more money at making four reliable engines, whereas other teams don't. So you actually detriment what you're trying to achieve in the first place.
Yeah.
So I don't know what my opinion is yet, but I think leveling the playing fields is not a bad idea, you know. And I think this spirit of what Formula One is trying to do is right. Whether using the cap of 100 million is the right mechanism, that remains to be seen. And I think it'll quickly show its face as to whether it works or not.
What was that? There was also a racing format with the countries. South Africa took part.
A1.
Because those cars were all exactly the same. Yeah. And then it came down to driver skill, didn't it?
Yeah. But again, and that's where this might fall flat is because usually you get all of the advancement when there's lots of money thrown in the pot.
Yeah.
You know? And the other teams learn from that a year or two later.
Yeah.
So the advancement might just go away to a large degree.
Do you really think so, though?
Yeah, money causes the advancement. I mean, look at how wars have advanced the world.
Sure,
so
but
when
then
countries
also
throw their entire budget at war machines, and money advances the technology.
Yeah, but that's to build a lot of fighter planes and submarines.
Yeah, but
it's not,
would
it's not
we
really
have
about
had,
the development.
If it wasn't for the wars, would we have had jets?
I actually think the biggest development would come when the engineers are actually constrained by budget.
Yeah, then they start cheating.
No, they have to think of interesting and unusual ways to stay within the rules and stay within the budget and yet still gain some advantage.
I think it's a fair point, but I don't agree. I think the more money there is, the more mistakes you can make, the more you learn, the more you advance.
So that's the thing. I mean, you know, clearly Ferrari and McLaren and the Red Bull teams are the guys with the bucks at the moment, and they obviously have money to do, you know, bigger R&D.
I think there could be other ways. You know, this could be one way, but there could be other ways. I mean, look at the addition of the extra set of tires, the compound this year, and how much it's changing. We've had two out of the races this year so far, two out of the three races, where the tires have seriously screwed up the strategy.
Yeah.
Where the teams just didn't know where they were because they didn't know how the tire was going to perform.
Yeah.
So changing that up every year is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to, we'll see what happens, and we'll see if that that cap of 150 million comes through for 2021. I also see that Porsche is considering entering Formula One in 2021. This is the view of F1 legend Gerhard Berger.
We need more diversity. We need more brands participating. It's been the Ferrari show for good knows how long, and Merck as well. It would be nice. This year we had Alpha. Alpha came back.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. It would be nice if we could see other brands, maybe from the American stable.
I think you're right. I think the more brands we have against each other, the more it will be beneficial.
Drives
to
development, motoring, what you were talking about.
Yes. Motoring. Yeah. You know, it's not this kind of like pasted together car.
Cut and paste from
different parts.
Well, we'll see how it works out for Porsche this time around, because their last forays into Formula One, when was it, in the 90s? 80s or 90s?
It wasn't
less than successful.
No, if you need to put together a good team, you just go and buy all the people you need.
Yep, true.
That's what Porsche is struggling
with. I don't know what they're going to do with 100 million.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, let's just have a look at the current driver standing. Sebastian Vettel in first, Lewis Hamilton, and then Valtteri Bottas. George, any kind of what do you think is going to happen this weekend?
Verstappen's going to crash.
Well, talking about freaking Verstappen, I think there's been what is he having a sandwich in the car while he's driving?
Probably.
He's I think he's growing up very fast.
Yeah.
He's got this level of immaturity when he drives and he takes out other drivers. Obviously he doesn't do it on purpose, but I think that Ricciardo is actually a better driver than him.
Okay.
That's my personal view. And I think Ricciardo is the best breaker in that entire field.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what he did last week. He's absolutely
inside lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's absolutely lightning. He passes people in the braking zone.
And we shouldn't be passing. Anyway. So we'll
see. It works.
It does work. Obviously, that's his strategy and that's what he's good at. Then, that's what he
must
do.
I'm just happy to see Vettel at the top.
Sorry?
Oh, I'm just happy to see Vettel at the top.
Oh, yeah, I know, me as well. Don't worry. So Azerbaijan street circuit, right?
Yes.
It's in the city.
Yeah.
Looks like a very tight circuit, so it's no
overtaking.
Yeah, so there's very little overtaking. So I think the teams will go for the softer compound tires, do more stops. Because the pit straight will be short and you'll be able to get in and out there really quickly because they're doing 2 second stops. What's hampering Ferrari at the moment is their pit stops have increased by 1 second a pit stop because they knocked over their pit crew.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, and broke his leg in two places. So
they've had to get some replacements in.
No, I don't think it's about the replacements. I think it's
they're
now
just being more careful.
More careful more and careful. Nervous. Yeah. So their pit stops, actually, Bottas overtook...
Lewis Hamilton?
No.
I've got a list of names. I can read them to you.
Ricciardo, Verstappen.
Bottas overtook Vettel.
Okay.
Sorry, I went totally blank. Blank. Bottas overtook Vettel last week because of that pit stop issue. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's anybody's race at the top at Azerbaijan. There's a couple of things in the pot. The tyres are one of them. The pit stop strategy.
And clearly qualification becomes quite important here. If there's not a lot of opportunities on race day to overtake and maneuver and do all that kind of stuff.
So my prediction is that Daniel Ricciardo or Vettel will be on pole.
Okay.
Raikkonen maybe, but he's inconsistent. I don't think the Mercedes are going to be on pole. Their car's just not up to scratch. Yeah. Although Hamilton's a cracking driver. But their car's just not up to Ferrari's pace.
Okay, well, we'll have to see what happens once the race has happened this weekend. Let's get into some other topical stuff here. South African road deaths, a national crisis. 134,000 people have been killed over the last 10 years on our roads. The annual road fatality statistics for 2017, released by the Road Traffic Management Corporation, reveals the grim situation on our roads. So according to the statistics, 14,050 people died in road crashes on South African roads in 2017, and this is marginally lower than the 14,071 people who died in 2016, but it's still higher than any year from 2008 to 2015. So it says a total number of 145 major crashes were reported and investigated during this period under review. Approximately 838 people were killed and 805 people sustained injuries as a result of the major crashes. Interesting enough, though, there's there's like an infographic that's been put together. And if we unpack that quickly, so 26% of the road fatalities are drivers of vehicles, 33% are passengers. And this goes to what we were saying earlier. Pedestrians make up 38% of the deaths on our roads. Those are people that are obviously just walking pedestrians on the side, you know, on the side of the road or in the road on the road. And then, there's a small percentage of cyclists and there's some unknowns. But quite interesting to see that pedestrians make up the biggest percentage of road fatalities, which to the point is, again, when you're walking on, that's why there's sidewalks. You're not allowed to walk on the road. We shouldn't be jaywalking. And again, it goes to there's a whole list that have been that's been compiled by the AA in terms of what can be done to make our roads safer. And we'll get into that just now. But it was also interesting to see that, and this is a no-brainer, but biggest percentage of accidents happen on a Saturday, and followed by a Sunday, and then Friday, Monday to Thursday. You look like you're pretty safe on our roads.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's because the entire traffic population is driving slower.
Yes.
Because there's lots of traffic and people are doing their usual routes, which they used to.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing a route that you're not used to driving, I guess, you know, your attention has to be a lot more.
Yeah.
But this 38% pedestrian fatality figure, we've all encountered the roadblocks where some guy shoves a little device with a little pipe in your face and say, blow.
Yeah.
Do they do that with pedestrians?
No.
I don't think so.
That's the problem.
Because you're not driving.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a valid point.
If you're incapable of driving, you should be incapable of walking on the road as well.
Is there a law against public intoxication?
Yes.
You're not allowed to drink in public.
You're not allowed to drink in public.
But being intoxicated in public.
That's fine. Is that as fine? Long as you're not driving. Or operating even a motor, a bicycle.
I think there's something about them being a danger to themselves and others.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be, you shouldn't be allowed to be intoxicated in near to a public road.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I don't know. I mean, what percentage of intoxicated people are actually part of this?
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't really unpack it.
Going on anecdotal evidence, my brother was an EMS doctor.
Okay.
Right. And this was like 15 years ago. And at that stage, he said 90% of the time, if there's a pedestrian involved in a motor vehicle accident, he's drunk.
Okay.
Either drunk or stoned or on some drug or something, but under the influence of something.
Yeah.
Why would that have changed? And again, it's not scientific. It's absolutely anecdotal.
No, for sure. No.
It would be interesting to note how much of this is urban and rural.
Yeah.
And how much of it occurred over the holiday periods.
Yeah.
Look, at the end of the day,
Correlated with animal crashes.
Mm. Yeah, you know.
Because that kind of like, you know, the in the rural areas, I suppose there's still a lot of pedestrians on the roads in rural areas, even without animals.
Yeah. Well, I had to swear for a bunny the other day. Seriously.
Dude.
I did.
Furry speed bumps.
Furry speed bumps. Next time I'm not swerving, I'm just going to hit the blade.
Do not swerve out for
an
animal.
And put it in a pot.
Do you have any idea how much damage a bunny can do to a modern car?
I know.
Really?
Yes.
Ask the under tray of my car. It knows.
It will destroy your front bumper, most likely.
But any person will tell you, do not swerve out for an animal.
No, you don't.
Unless you have plenty of
space.
If that
thing is a cow.
Oh, no.
I'm not talking.
But you know what? It's weird because it's a natural instinct to, you know.
Avoid.
Avoid.
Yeah. Generally, I'm talking about small wildlife here.
Yes.
You don't swerve out of the way for it because you never know. You are doing 120 on the freeway and a little rabbit runs across the road. You swerve out for it and you hit a 14-ton truck coming the other
way. No, listen, that's a different story. I think I was doing about 35 Ks. I'd just gone over a speed bump and this I decided to run in front of my car. So anyway, I swerved. But anyway, there's a list here that I want to get into. So some of the suggestions here from the AA are in terms of ways to reduce South African road death toll. And one is creating a safe environment for pedestrians to commute, especially on busy roads. I agree with that.
It's called the pavement.
Called the pavement. Extension nationwide pedestrian education campaigns. How stupid are you to not know that if a car hits you, you're probably going to die? You can't educate somebody. Like, you can go to town. I mean, the fact that we are in 2018 and we're going to go out with campaigns like, don't walk in the road, cars are dangerous. I think that's crazy, to be honest, and a waste of money. An increase in reliable, safe public transport, totally agree with that. I don't know if you guys have got...
Absolutely.
It would help.
The drunks off their feet and on
absolutely.
The buses.
Okay, so then I'm just going to read through the next ones quickly. A swift introduction of crash avoidance technology in vehicles, encouraging employers to consider the wellness of employees, ensuring employees who walk to work are visible at all times, either through improving uniforms to make them more visible, ensuring the safety of vehicles in fleets, etc., and ongoing internal road safety education to staff. And my biggest point, and we harp on this all the time. I reckon all of these problems would go away if we had visible policing. So why not take all the money that you're going to throw at this kind of stuff and get proper cops on the road, like you say? Like
this is a capitalist.
I think it is. Well, that's why, like, I want to debate it, because
I'm sitting here with my eyebrows.
It's very fluffy.
All relevant.
Yeah.
And it's all good, and I think it's all
valid.
Valid, yeah. And yes, it will bring down road deaths
marginally.
But you know, how doable is this? It's like reaching for the clouds.
Well, we can go and build the best pavement infrastructure on the planet.
No, I mean, if you build a walkway that has a barrier,
yes,
you know, yes, it's gonna stop the car from hitting the pedestrian. But how practical is that? Who's gonna fund it? Where's the money gonna come from? And I think you're absolutely spot on. Just get more police on the road.
Absolutely.
Find people that are jaywalking. Find cars that are doing the wrong thing. And you know, that for me is the cheapest way.
Absolutely.
Stop hiding in the bushes. The problem is that way they won't make money. Or as much money as they would.
I do not have a problem if you incentivize police to get paid a commission on the number of fines that are issued, as long as they are legit, and they should always be legit, because
the court is there to decide if it's not legit.
Exactly. Well, and I'm going to fight the case. So the guy says you were doing 180 and I've got, I don't know, some fancy computer in my car that says I was only doing 125, then surely I've got a leg to stand on it. I'm not going to pay the fine, because the court should see that I'm not.
The amendments to the new auto bill just blew that out of the water, because you are guilty. Until proved innocent, the new amendments to the Auto Act say you are guilty.
Okay, well, that's fine, but then I've still got an opportunity to prove my innocence.
No, that's what the whole thing about this auto bill is.
Well, I said
Howard Dombrowski's taken it to court because it's unconstitutional what they're trying to write into the Act.
Yeah, so what is it? What do they say? What's it? Until proven guilty. Yeah. Innocent.
This is basically saying you're guilty, you're going to pay, or you aren't going to get your license, your car renewed.
You know what I think?
You're probably going to have to pay to prove your innocence as well.
Exactly.
You know, I honestly believe that they could run a case study. They could take a road that has got the highest kind of accident toll, you know, on it. And that should be, you know, we should be able to find
that. Probably Fontaine Road will do nicely.
Okay. So
N3 to Durban.
So
take your pick.
Okay. Right. A bit long, but maybe what we could do. And let's put some cops on those roads for a 3-month period. And I bet you now the fatalities will come down. People speeding will come down. People
driving into oncoming traffic.
Driving into oncoming traffic will come down. Why? Because you should be scared as policemen. All of us. I bet you now, 100% of us, when we were children, I mean, I do it to my kids sometimes. Like, hey,
take you to the police.
And they go, no. Because the policeman is there to enforce the law. And I don't mind if he's incentivized to do so. Let the oak drive a Ferrari and he can have the biggest house. That means he's the best bloody cop. So I'm all for it.
You know what one of the problems with our police force is? Well, traffic police forces. They're too friendly.
Yes.
They're way too friendly.
Yeah.
You know, you're not there to... If the guy stopped you for a valid, legitimate reason...
Yeah.
You should be shitting yourself.
Absolutely, because you know you've done something wrong.
The guy shouldn't be having a conversation with you about the weather.
Yeah.
Should I stopped you because of this?
Yeah.
Like, what's your story?
Yeah.
You know, and I think in South Africa, we are too buddy-buddy with the police force.
Trevor Noah, in one of his latest pieces that came out, he actually goes to town on this, because it's like in America, a cop will pull you over and go, ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over?
And then sticks a taser up your nose.
Exactly. But in South Africa, the oak's like, you know, it's a fact conversation before you get to the nitty gritty. So,
said nitty gritty would be, how much KFC would you like, officer?
Yeah. Do you want a cold drink, or how many leopards do you have in your wallet?
I've been watching a program every night now called Motorway Cops. It's a BBC program. Mm. And these guys, they basically patrol the M6, M42, M5 around Birmingham and everything. And they just pull people over. And it's actually laughable, because they're pulling these guys over because they don't have insurance. And then they arrest them for obstructing a police officer when the guy starts giving excuses about, oh, no, it's my girlfriend's car. And no, it's actually the company car that my girlfriend's got. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
We're sitting there and we're like, really? They're arresting these guys because they don't have insurance? Yeah, the cars don't have wheels.
No, exactly. Sure. But I mean, but Lawrence, to my point, if the law states in the UK that you're not allowed to drive a car on the road unless it is insured,
That's breaking the law.
That's breaking
the
law.
And you're behind the wheels, so freaking have at it.
And you know, it's the excuses that these people come up with. Good.
No,
Lord.
I'm sure. Listen, they're also a bunch of half-wits, some of them. But, you know, if you have a look at the bobbies on the beat in the
but
cities,
the way they
you know,
argue with the cops, you know, going to what we were saying about, you know, respect the cops.
Yeah.
You can see when they're talking to them, they're like, okay, you're a cop. I know what's coming. I'm going to jail. But you know what? I'm going to stand here and I'm going to argue with you and keep you busy for another hour.
No, in America, you won't get it right. Or in Australia, I think it's
taser.
Yeah, as you get out the car, shoot a man, and then you go up to him and ask him or tell him what he was doing wrong. So anyway, yeah, so I mean, those are some of the things. But again, we bleat on about this all the time. Like, just visible policing, please. Can we just get more visible policing?
If you had to listen to the shows for the last 2 years,
I'm sure I say it every 2 weeks.
I'm pretty sure that every solution to every problem is
visible policing.
We need more cops.
We do need more
serious cops.
Yeah.
And then it will be cool to become a cop because you'll get a motorbike and you can be like Chips, remember? And that's what it's about.
Kids actually don't get laughed out when they say, I want to be a policeman.
No, because it's an honorable thing. And I respect them. And they are, you know, they're civil servants. And, you know, they probably do have a crap job. It can't be easy. If you think about the day and age.
It doesn't have to be a crap job.
It doesn't have to be a crap
job. It really doesn't have to be a crap job. It can be a proud thing that you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody's got to go and overrule the thing. You know.
Yeah.
So someone's got to go do that.
Anyway, we're going to get into our car review.
Jeez, we can bleat, eh?
Yeah, we can. We've gone on a bit here today. But anyway, Martin, let's you've been driving an S-Class Mercedes-Benz. And there's actually one parked in our basement at the moment. And what a big car is how I'd like to open that up. But tell us a bit about it.
The one that's parked in the basement is the one I drove now for a week.
Okay.
And you are absolutely correct. The only reason it ended up in my hands...
Because it didn't fit in my garage.
Lawrence was supposed to drive it, and then he realized he can't fit it into his garage.
With a number plate resting against the front wall of my garage, I could not close the garage door, and I park double cabs in there on a regular basis to give you an idea of how long this car is.
But fortunately, I have a huge carport, so the honor fell to my side.
It's a
S450L.
L. Yes. L for long or, L for limousine,
yes.
Because that's
it actually means L, and it really
long
is long.
It is
long. 5.216 meters, I think.
But Mercedes is known for these long wheelbase cars. I mean, look at the old S-Class.
Yeah.
You got them in short wheelbase, and you got them in long wheelbase.
Well, the long wheelbase, with this facelift, because this is now the main thing with this car, it's now the facelifted version.
Yeah.
They discontinued the short wheelbase offerings entirely.
Okay.
And it's a good idea, because...
You can get it in a cabrio, yes?
Hey?
A cabrio.
Well, you can get it in a cabrio with a short wheelbase.
I suppose if you want a short wheelbase, just go and buy an E-Class.
Buy an E-Class, because it's the same sausage, just a different length. And this is the longest sausage.
I love that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so carry on telling us about the S for sausage. Yeah, the S-Class.
Sausage
class, yeah.
All right. Now, this car came without any badging, so Lawrence and I spent the best part of half an hour trying to figure out exactly what it is. And the only way we could really tell was by counting the turbochargers and seeing where they're located and looking at the rev limiter.
You see, now I have no idea, because I must have walked around that car 35 times looking for a sign that told
me
what it
was. There's no badge.
There's no badge,
no badge on it.
Is that standard?
No, it's actually the badge delete is a factory option. So you can order the car.
It's actually one of the
badges.
Few Mercedes-Benzes I've seen in the recent times that actually has the Mercedes-Benz emblem.
On the bonnet.
On the bonnet.
Yeah,
that
the
raised,
bonnet mascot.
Oh, the raised,
the that's star. Been done away with for
ages. I mean, Jaguar don't do it anymore. No more leapers, only grounders.
Yeah, I'm actually very surprised about that, because pedestrian safety regulations does not really go
allow
that.
For it, yeah.
Well, obviously, I think Mercedes has some kind of workaround for this problem.
No, I mean,
probably breaks off easily.
Just make them out of rubber.
Bentley still does it.
Bentley, I'm
Rolls
not sure
Royce
about
still does
Rolls
it.
Royce, but Rolls it Royce senses if it's due to get into an accident, and it actually retracts in a split second. How clever do you want?
Because that's the angel, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Rolls Royce
Spirit of Ecstasy.
Spirit of Ecstasy.
What is that car? Ghost.
The Wraith.
the...
Okay, enough about the fancy BMWs. We're talking about the fancy...
Yes, okay.
Pretty Rolls Royce.
Okay, let's continue Phantom. About this Merc. I mean, Phantom. The Phantom.
Phantom.
I mean, the interior of this vehicle looks absolutely spectacular. It's absolutely luxury. Gorgeous. I mean, it's luxurious.
Beyond. White leather, heated seats, massage functions, oh, front and rear. It's...
And like a lounge. It's a long wheelbase. There's an acre of space for the rear seat passengers in terms of legroom. So much that you can actually recline the rear seats.
Oh, geez, like.
Well, to a point. Yeah. And you can move the seat cushion, and it has electric window blinds and literally
DVD screens.
Yes, DVD screens.
I'm assuming that if you're buying this kind of vehicle, you've probably got a driver.
Well,
it's like the 7 Series that it goes up against. I'll speak under correction. This is the type of car that. Yes, you have a driver.
Yeah,
you. It's aimed at people who are not going to be driving themselves. Yeah. Because as much as nice as the front of the driver's seat is, the rear is where you actually want to be.
Yeah, it's even nicer in the back. Now, this is the entry-level petrol version. All right, it's called the S450, and that means it's a 3-liter twin-turbo V6 petrol.
Okay.
And a 3-liter V6 does not mean an old Ford V6 anymore. This is quite a beast. It's listed at 283 kilowatts and 500 newton meters. And for some perspective, 30 years ago, the 560 SEL with a 5.6 liter V8 had more than 40 kilowatts less in about, and it was sorting about 50 newton meters as well.
Sure.
So now the entry-level car is more powerful and more torquey than three generations ago's top model.
Well, I mean, that's what turbos do for you, right?
Yep. Now, combine that with an absolutely magnificent 9-speed autobox. How did you find that gearbox, Lawrence?
Absolutely stunning.
Nine forward speeds.
You don't actually even know what gear the car is in because it just changes so seamlessly. It's quiet.
It's absolutely, absolutely
whisper quiet.
Buttery
is it an automatic? It's automatic.
It's automatic.
Do they only come in automatic?
Yeah, they only come in automatic.
It's because they're trying to set us up for electric cars that don't have gears.
Sure, but it has got paddles behind the steering wheel.
But the funny thing is, you know, normally with these multi-speed gearboxes or many speed gearboxes such as these, it's almost like driving a CVT because they tend to shuffle up and down through the gears. But this engine has such a wide torque spread that the gearbox keeps it between 1,500 and 2,500 revs. Yes. And it just propels you forward effortlessly like a speedboat.
Like a V8.
It's a bullet train.
Like an old school V8, actually. Yeah.
So it's constant power. So has the two turbos two different sizes?
No.
Same size.
There's one on each bank.
One on each bank. Not designed to give you low down power and top end power.
No, but because you have two and they're each driven essentially from a 1.5 liter engine and the turbos are 1.5 on each side. On each side.
Yeah.
So it's basically two 1.5-liter three cylinders.
Yeah.
But because of this, and because there are two turbos, they can size them down.
Yeah.
Which means no turbo lag whatsoever. Quickly. Yeah. They spin up quickly, and then they just maintain the thrust. I honestly can't understand why you'd want anything more than that in a car like that. The 500, the 563
two electric motors on each drivetrain.
Yes,
we'll get there.
Give them two generations, they'll get there.
Look, S Class has always been Mercedes Benz's halo, it's just tech. Everything that is in the S Class now, you will find in a C Class 5 years down the line.
But this now brings up a very interesting issue that I actually found with this car. Mercedes is one of the leaders in terms of semi-autonomous driver.
Yeah.
And this car didn't have it.
And this car did not have adaptive cruise. It did not have lane keeping assistance.
Didn't have the driver assistance pack.
None.
It's a 58,000 Rand option.
Which is unbelievable.
For a 2 million Rand car, 58 grand.
Well, don't exaggerate. It's only 1.71 million before options.
1.71 million for 58 more thousand Rand.
Exactly. I believe they should just bump the price by 60 grand and make it standard.
Exactly.
I mean, the S-Class is supposed to be the technology leader and it's supposed to be the best car in its class.
Yeah, then why have that as an option to it? I agree with you 100%.
I was having this debate with somebody the other day. You know, in days of old, cars used to come out, there were very minimal optional extras, very minimal, you know.
Yeah.
It used to come out with all bells and whistles. Audi was one. Audi used to come out with almost everything. There was maybe you could put a sunroof on.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you know, one of these days you're going to have an optional extra fan.
Yeah.
The German brands are specifically the guilty parties here, and it's because it's not geared to our economy, it's geared to theirs. Where they're adding an optional extra is only a few euros.
Yeah, true.
No, look, I absolutely agree with that, but the thing that really irks me is the Merc, this specific S-Class.
It should be standard.
It has
1.7 million.
And it has all the supporting hardware already. I mean, on the digital dashboard, it can show you your following distances, so it will be able to already, with the existing hardware.
Just they didn't have the radar.
It has the radar. How do you think it tells you the following distances? It's there.
It should
be activated just in the software.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not a car manufacturer expert, but my logic tells me that Henry Ford brought down the cost of cars by manufacturing one standard car in black for the masses.
Yeah.
And brought down the cost significantly.
Well, that's what he did. You bought a car. That's what it was. A car.
Yeah. So, you know, shouldn't all cars go towards what these things are? You can buy a particular model with stuff on. You can't change it.
Mm. Well, that's where the Koreans have got it. Kia, certain Nissans, and Hyundai. That's it. There are two models
two
in options. The Great
Wall. Two term levels, that's it.
Yeah. That's it. And you either have the entry level or the full house.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. With no options.
Because
and I love that.
You don't have to kind of like, oh, we're making three cars with the fan and we're making four cars with
two
the door handle.
And
no, man.
It's like ordering a bacon and cheese and egg burger, but then asking that you don't want the egg and your cheese has to be cheddar. And then, you know,
the bacon, and adult gluten intolerance. So just bring me a plate.
Yeah, exactly. And can you please only put 17 sesame seeds on my bun?
There you go.
That'll be date one and then naught for Tara.
Absolutely.
I just don't understand why this car comes with all of this hardware. It's compatible already. It needs to be activated in the software, and one little control panel on the steering wheel needs a different instruction.
The thing is, we know from past experience that the press fleet, Mercedes' press fleet up in Johannesburg, is a very strange spec. The cars are spec to look good.
Yes.
But then I'm missing a few really things.
But that's
that
crazy because
be
you're giving them to journalists. And what are the journalists going to do? He's going to
diss it.
He's going to go on radio and say,
why does this car have a cruise?
Exactly.
No, seriously, I almost drove every little Kia Picanto because I set the cruise control when I got on the freeway.
And it's
an S-Class. It should have adaptive cruise, says my mind. So I set the cruise and I didn't pay attention the way I was supposed to. And the next moment.
Because you were reading your newspaper in the back.
And the next moment I saw this little thing in front of me.
Like my rabbit, yeah.
It was like a rabbit.
Yeah.
It was quite a shock.
Yeah, I know. When you start getting used to these bells and whistles, my Jeep's got adaptive cruise, and Arnold Chats Motors kindly lent me a Jeep Wrangler last weekend, which I loved. Absolutely loved that car.
That's good, eh?
And I had cruise control. I said to him, does it have adaptive cruise control? He said to me, if you go 4x4, you're going to break it. So no, it doesn't. So I stick on the cruise control and exactly that. I'm so used to my Jeep's adaptive cruise control that I had to kind of cover brake.
Now this car was spec'd very, very weirdly because it's an S-Class, so it's supposed to be the ultimate luxury, but it was an AMG line, which meant that it came with some 20-inch
wheels
and optional 20-inch wheels.
Yeah. How's the sound system in this vehicle?
Amazing.
7.1 surround sound Burmeister.
Yeah.
You turn the thing on and the tweeters sort of scroll out of the door. They turn out.
Or we might just have to go and check that out if it's still downstairs.
I couldn't stop finding speakers in this thing. I took it for photos, I actually found 5 more speakers in the roof.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, listen.
It's an incredible car.
Guys, on that note, so it is a great car. And to your point, guys, thanks very much for that interesting conversation. I really enjoyed that chat. And again, thanks for our listeners who are tuning in and the guys that are downloading our show. We really, really do appreciate it. Check out our social pages. There's some really cool articles online at the moment on our news and reviews section. Lawrence got a whole bunch of videos on how-tos. I even asked you the other day how to change brake pads because I was going to send my car in, but now I know how to do it myself. Easy
just
peasy.
Do yourself a favor. Don't buy hard compound brake pads. They will squeak till the cows come home. Buy soft compound brake pads, probably Ferodo. I don't know if they're around anymore.
Some Ferodos.
Ferodo Platinum.
Platinum. Buy soft compound brake pads.
Yeah,
soft.
They won't last this long, but they will also not kill your
much more expensive brake rotors.
Thank you.
So
fantastic.
There's your tip for the day.
Lovely. Thanks very much, guys. Until next week, we're out.
This is CliffCentral.com.